Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast with Essan Koman, Head of Emerging Markets Research, EMEA. It's Friday, 19th November 2021, and this week we're discussing the expectations for emerging markets until year end. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only. Essan, as this year draws to a close, you've been discussing with me the prospects for emerging markets for the remaining months of this year. Can you offer listeners your top-of-mind considerations, please?
Thanks, Una. So yes, as we near the end of 2021, the emerging market growth outlook appears disconcertingly to us more challenging and also more heterogeneous than at the outset of the year. So monetary and fiscal policy have played a pivotal role in supporting growth since the onset of the pandemic. But as policy has tightened, these tailwinds are turning into headwinds. Inflation has been driven sharply higher across many emerging markets by a confluence of higher commodity prices. So that's both energy as well as food prices, base effects, reopening reverberations, and fast recovering developed market demand. Now, the fear of stagflation, that's the worrisome mix of both slowing growth and rising inflation, has crept into conversations as inflation reaches 10-year highs in many emerging markets and comparisons with the 1970s are rife. So negative supply shocks, of which we are increasingly experiencing, are particularly taxing for some emerging markets. And more broadly, the pressure continues to build against backdrop of global trade tensions and virus-related disruptions in supply chains, but also the spike in commodity prices, which are especially inflationary in emerging markets, and the tightening in global liquidity as developed market central banks head towards normalization of ultra-loose monetary policy. Now, in terms of risks, well, they are firmly to the downside in our view, but we do expect some pockets of benign performance. So tighter financial conditions, subdued consumer confidence, and peak exports all argue for caution with risks to downside to growth. Now, on the other hand, significant cost side pressures, worsening inflation expectations, and a narrowing output gap point to upside inflation risks. And hence, emerging markets' growth inflation mix is worsening rapidly. Having said that, despite our current bearish emerging market macro positioning, we still expect relatively decent growth going into next year, albeit with sticky inflation in parts of the emerging market space. And on top of the macro picture, technical positioning is favorable. So emerging market asset classes, particularly equities and some currencies, are cheap by historical standards. Positioning is light, despite record inflows in 2021, and institutional investor cash levels are indicating high level of tactical trading within the emerging market complex.
And drilling down into the regions and countries within emerging markets in EMEA, Essan, can you run listeners through how the major economies are performing?
So, you know, yes, perhaps let me take the main economies with the top of mind in turn. So starting off with the GCC region, so the robust outlook is anchored on three factors converging to provide significant tailwinds to economic activity, namely reopening effects with the return to pre-pandemic levels almost complete. Second, we have regional developments such as the UAE's Dubai Expo of 2020, Qatar's FIFA 2022 World Cup, and Saudi Arabia's Riyadh season, which is hosting 7,500 events in Q4 2021, as well as elevated oil prices and higher oil production, all providing greater fiscal space and investments as well as expenditures. Now, on Central and Eastern Europe, we remain upbeat on this region, with the recent aggressive policy tightening a product of recovery success, though we have concerns that Poland's growth risks of monetary policy falling behind and fiscal policy in Hungary is out of line with central bank stability goals. Meanwhile, in Russia, so the domestic real economy has returned much closer to its pre-pandemic equilibrium than most other emerging markets, though we estimate that GDP is still around 3% below pre-pandemic trends. Almost half of that is due to the oil sector, which is exogenously capped by the OPEC Plus agreement. And also, fiscal policy has already tightened sufficiently to return the budget to government's long-term fiscal rule, in our view. Meanwhile, on Turkey, well, high inflation, currency depreciation, increased dollarization, and elevated risk premium remain front of mind. And policy is easing, when output is above capacity and expectations are increasingly becoming de-anchored. On South Africa, so the economic recovery has become much less V-shaped this year than other major emerging markets, owing to more stringent pandemic-related lockdown measures and less fiscal policy support. But the fact that output is still below pre-pandemic levels goes a long way towards explaining weaker inflation dynamics and also implies more room for catch-up growth near term. Finally, on Egypt, we continue to consider the country as one of the most compelling economic stories across emerging markets. And this resilience is anchored on the well-coordinated IMF program since 2016, wherein the country has moved from a crisis to stabilization to really an emerging markets darling.
And finally, Hassan, what about in terms of the financial market impact from emerging markets? Which ones are positioned to do well and which ones are you expecting to lag?
So, Una, given the delicate nature of the state of play in emerging markets, we view that even more than usual, that will be important to differentiate under the headline indices, given the disparate stage of economic recoveries in different jurisdictions. So after best returns to payers in more than a decade, emerging market rate receivers are likely to have more momentum as inflation eventually starts to moderate, in our view. Meanwhile, in EMFX, there is scope for these accumulated hikes to support emerging market currency total returns, especially against the more patient developed market central banks. And finally, in emerging market equities, we expect decent returns in select markets given cheap relative valuations, including in China, the earliest tightener of them all.
Thanks very much for sharing your insight, Hassan. Have a great week and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Una. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.